Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm the pastor at Forward Church in Chiefland, Florida, and this is our podcast. Thanks so much for checking it out today. I hope it encourages you and inspires you. Here's today's message.
Come on, how many believe that there's nothing too hard, nothing too big for God? Amen? It was like a one-minute video, and I was sitting in the house going, man, I love it. Why can't there be more? It's just done. Because how many knows that once you understand that there is nothing too hard for God, that's it. There's no need to keep discussing. How many knows we're a people that we like to draw, we like to feel the pain, we like the attention that the pain brings, we like that. But when you get to the mindset, I gotta remember these notes. But I'm tugging this way. When we get the mindset that whatever we're going through, God has it, let it go. Let it go. Amen. Amen, amen. If you brought your Bibles this morning, I'm gonna roll right here. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We are in this collection of talks where this is the third installment to this collection that's really been centered around this statement, this thought process. And I encourage you to take notes. You want to write this in all caps at the top of your paper or hit caps lock on your phone. No access. No access. I believe that for too long we've allowed the enemy to walk in and walk out of our lives. He's jacking up and messing up stuff. He's jacking up our marriages. He's causing division in our families. And I think it's time for the body of Christ to say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. That should stir something up inside of you, because let me tell you something. If there could be such a thing as you could contain 100 monster drinks and your body can handle it, that's how the enemy's tenacity is coming after you and I. He's got everything he needs, power packed, and he's not letting go. It's time for the church to go, I'm not letting go. This belongs to me. This is my house. This is my family. This is my finances. I surrender it to God. Devil, you can't have it. No access. Enough is enough. We love Kelby, and Kelby has had to go back to the hospital, and he's now in rehab. I walked out of the hospital last week, and I just said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. His only prayer is, I need my freedom back. I need my independence back. Now, this is a young man who is in a wheelchair. We think we got it bad. He's just saying, I need to get my independence back. You know who's robbed us of our independence? The enemy. And it doesn't belong to him. You know how he got it? We gave it to him. You know why? Because we're not prepared. And that's why we're taking these few weeks to go through the armor of God, because I just believe that it's time for us as Christians to put back on the armor. Yes, I said put back on, because I just believe that, and I was raised that way. I remember growing up, y'all know my dad, and growing up, and it was, you know, family devotions, put on the belt of truth. I mean, he literally made us stand up and do it. Put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the good new shoes, the shield of faith, and shoo, sword of the spirit. Now, those of y'all know dad, y'all know that sound effect was part of it. Okay? But for too long, what we've done is it's become this reenactment. It no longer has purpose or power, because it's just a ritual that we do as we walk out the door, because Pastor Dennis said that we need to put on the armor, so we go through that. But we really don't understand exactly what the armor consists of, or what it contains, or the power that's in it. And so that's why we're going through this thing. In the first week, we talked about putting on the mind of Christ and protecting our mind with salvation. Why is all of this so important? Because every day when we wake up, we're stepping into the ring of a fight. While we were sleeping last night, the enemies and the imps of hell were conjuring up schemes and strategies for you to take you out. They don't want to see us successful. They don't want to see us win. The enemy wants to see us lose all hope. That's why we did that song this morning. My hope is in Jesus. If you've lost hope, all you got to do is remember one name. It's the name above every name, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Amen. So it's important that we understand that we're in a fight. Somebody said, I didn't come for the bad news. Good, I'm not going to give it to you. The good news is the fight is already won. He's just a deceiver and an accuser and trying to convince us that we still can lose. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he is putting together schemes and strategies. So let's just go to the book Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. It says, it's a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Stop trying to fight this battle on your own. I just inserted that. Y'all are looking for that in the word. That's what you need to write on your paper. Stop fighting this battle on your own, Bradley Weber. Stop fighting this battle on your own, Cindy Hodges. That's what you need to be. Put your name, insert your name. Talk to yourself. Encourage yourself. Because we're not always going to be around. Sometimes you need to learn how to encourage yourself. Amen? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies unless you're married. Just making sure y'all was listening. But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. That was a joke, by the way. Y'all are like, oh my gosh. We're fighting against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing. It's interesting to note that God wants your stance to be firm. Young people in the house, God wants your stance on the high school campus to be firm. Stop swaying. Stop. Try this substance. Do this. Sex outside of marriage. Sex before marriage. Let me tell you, don't get nervous because I said the S word. I'm just going to leave it right there. But you know what I'm talking about, and so do they. And they come up and say asinine things to you on this campus. Well, everybody's doing it. No, my friend. If everybody was doing it, they wouldn't be pressuring you to come on in. And I'm not just talking to young people. I'm talking to adults who have friends that are shady, friends that are jaded, friends that have walked outside the church because of hurt and those type things. And they say, well, just try this. This will make it better. It won't make it better. As a matter of fact, it'll bring on all kinds of hurt and all kinds of all kinds of pain. He doesn't put stuff in there. Now, that's all the way at the end of my notes, but he doesn't put stuff in there for us not to do because he wants us to have a life that is not fun. He puts it in there so you can actually have fun and that you won't actually experience the hurt and pain because we got it out of order. He wants our stance to be firm. It's the enemy that wants us to become weak and feel defeated. Give up, walk away. Anybody ever been there? That's the enemy. Anytime you have that thought of, I just feel defeated. You ever had one of those days where you just want to stay in bed, mope around? I understand. You get that. Just know, don't give in to that. That's what the enemy wants you to do. The other day, I don't remember what day it was. They weren't there. And I could just feel some stuff coming in the house. So I went to DirecTV and I found the Christian radio and I blasted it on surround sound and it literally stayed on all day. She came home and nobody even noticed that there was something playing in the living room. Somebody's like, y'all don't watch TV? Not that much. I went to bed and right before I hit the light to go into our bedroom, I still heard it playing. So, what are you saying, Pastor B? I'm saying sometimes you need to create the environment to get the devil out and let him know he has no access to this environment. It belongs to God. And the only person that can change the atmosphere is you. He's the power, but there's something we need to do. Amen? It's the enemy that's trying to rob us, steal from us. Listen. If you're here today and you're feeling defeated, you're going, I'm feeling that way. It was everything I could do to get out of bed. Listen, you being here today is a stance that is firm. You may feel like, it may be a firm on your knees, and that's okay because that's where we need to be sometimes, on our knees. But the fact that you're here, the fact that you're still breathing, the fact that you actually got up this morning, that is a stance that is firm. Whether you know it or not, the enemy would try to convince you there was no sense in even coming in here. Listen to this crazy dude today. No, there is a reason you crawled out of bed and got here today. Because God is speaking to you just like he's speaking to me. Let's go on. Ephesians chapter 6, 14 says this. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace. Stop stirring up drama. You're not going to find that in there either. That should be something you find in your notes later in the week because you're writing it down right now. Stop stirring up drama. will. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. You turn on the one-eyed devil, you turn that tube on. I know I watch TV and movies too, but you turn that thing on, you're going to get some bad news. You need some good news? Tune into this right here. It'll never fail you, never let you down. When it's raining, you can still get a signal. Y'all know what I'm talking about out here in the country. It starts raining, you lose internet and direct TV and everything. This will never lose its signal. It will never lose its power. It's the good news, so that we will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, this is where we're going to land today for the next few moments. Hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil, and put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I had a moment right there, flashback. Dad, we got to do it again. Yes, stand up, Bradley Wayne. Shoo. Okay, I did it. Can I go to bed now? That's where Joshua got it from, because he saw me fighting it all those years. So part one, we talked about protecting our minds with the truth of our salvation. Not allowing the enemy to bring back up your past and tell you stupid, crazy stuff about you. It's the truth of your salvation. And in part two, we talked about guarding your heart with righteousness, his righteousness. There's nothing that you can do to be made right. Jesus did it all. That settles it. It is finished. Today, we're going to be talking about the shield of faith and the sword of spirit. Today's talk I've entitled Tactical Weapons. Tactical Weapons. Tactical Weapons is a military term. If you're not familiar with it, I'll read you the definition that my wonderful friend Siri gave me. It's designed for offensive and defensive use at relatively short range with immediate consequences. How many knows when the enemy's coming, he's not coming from afar, he's coming right up on your doorstep. So that's why he said tactical weapons, because what God has given us is used for offense and defense, so that when the enemy comes and it creates an immediate consequence for stepping in to territory that doesn't belong to you. It's called tactical weapons. So maybe this is the way we need. I'm trying to retrain our minds so that it's not just this little step process that we do so we can go on. No, we're understanding what we're putting on. We understand the power that is behind the punch. Tactical weapons. The greatest offense is a fantastic defense. It is the defense that wins the games, but it's the offense that actually packs the punch. Come on, somebody. All right. All right, let me just say it this way. Anybody ever been in a fist fight in your life? Going all the way back. Some of y'all going to have to go. I got ladies in the house that said, I've been in a fist fight. Let me see your hands. Put them up high. You've been in a fist fight. Some of y'all got two hands. I can't relate. I'm more of a lover, not a fighter. That's why I got three girls. I wasn't into fighting that much growing up, but I remember one time in elementary school, I was like third or fourth grade, East Denali Elementary School. And this was back in the day when yo mama jokes were real big. That's when mama jokes were coming, talking about your mama. We're out on the playground, and I'm not a fighter. I'm just not. I know that's really hard to believe, right? Okay. So I remember being on the playground, true story, and this little dude popped off one of those your mama jokes. And I don't know what came up in me. I pushed that little joker to the ground. I was like third or fourth grade, pushed him to the ground. And the next thing I know, I mean, I don't even know how it happened. The next thing I know, I'm on top of this joker. And I remember something that my stepbrothers from Georgia taught me. It was this little thing where I'm not going to get real close because it may happen again. But I remember this little thing my stepbrothers taught me where you fake them out. Y'all remember, there's all kinds of sounds and stuff you could make back. That's back in them days. You'd be like, anyway, stay on track. It was a rabbit I was chasing. So I remember this thing that my stepbrothers have told me, and I did that, but I didn't know how long my arm was, and I decked that kid right in the nose, and I wasn't even trying to. I was just trying to fake him out and be like, brother, don't be messing with my mama. I didn't have it into me to hit somebody with my fist. And before I knew it, school patrol, not SROs, but you know, the principal and the teacher, they all come flooding over, pulling me off. I mean, you didn't have to pull me off. I'm still in shock. I couldn't move. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to get so much trouble for this. Please don't tell my daddy. Because dad was of the belief that if I got in trouble at school, you better know it's coming when you get to the house. That's how he rolled. He got real soft with Josh, though. Anyway. Make note to edit that before that goes out. I love him. That joker was crying, blood, and they were pulling me, they were taking him off. And I still had something in me. Even though I was in shock, I was going, yeah, that's right. That's right. Talk about my mama. Bradley, why'd you do it? I don't know. It was an accident. I don't even know. I know. I said all that to say, we need to get a little righteous indignation. We need to stop letting the enemy push us and push him to the ground. God's given us the tactical weapons to use. That doesn't mean you need to walk outside your door looking for the fight. You just need to be prepared when it's coming. Some of you just need to get a little fire up in you. And just look him, just tell him, say, you're not going to mess with my mind. You're not going to mess with my home. Stop messing with my family. You're not going to destroy my future. I don't care what I did in my past. My future don't look nothing like that because I'm not the same person. He's changing me every day. Devil, you have no access over my life. Talking about the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, point number one for today is this. God is my shield. See, I didn't really understand that when I was growing up. I just thought there was a shield of protection. But what you need to understand is it is God that is your shield. I know it's the shield of faith, but I don't have faith in my faith. I have faith in God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. I'll show you what I'm talking about. He made this very clear in Scripture from the very, very beginning. Genesis 15:1 says, and this is to Abram, who later in life would be called Abraham, but here he was Abram. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you. I will protect you, and your reward will be great. So God is your shield. Say, God is my shield. God wanted his people to know from the very beginning that I'm your shield. I'm your protection. Essentially, what he was saying is this. If somebody's going to mess with you, they've got to get through me. Now, that's something that you can get excited about, to know that when the enemy's coming, as long as you put up the shield. If you're not working with what he's given you and you left it at the house or you leave it at the church house, because some of y'all ain't picking up the word until you get back here the next Sunday because you left it on the pew. I'm just saying. Oh, but we got these iPhones. Well, that's fine as long as you're using it. No condemnation here. Just make sure that phone is glowing and there's some Bible scriptures that are getting coming off that screen into your spirit, so that way when the enemy comes, you know it's not about just having the faith. It's saying God is my shield. Shield of faith. He said, I'm your shield. I'm your protection. I stand between you and the darkness. Is somebody thankful that you serve a God that's willing to step in for you? Ephesians 6:11. Let me just go back to that real quick. Ephesians 6:11 said, put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. 16. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. What Paul was trying to tell them then and us today is when you said armor, all they knew was the Roman soldier armor, to give us a picture of exactly what that looked like. Because what they did back in that day was they would take the arrows, they would dip it in pitch, and then they would, y'all seen it on the old movies, they would dip that arrow in pitch, light it, and then send it off into the village of to attack. I mean, there's no quicker way to destroy a village than to just blast them with fiery arrows. That's why Paul is telling us everything that's happening to you, it's not just a little something. It's the enemy who stayed up all night long trying to plan a scheme or a strategy against you, and he's sending fiery arrows. And so he said, you have the shield of faith. God is your protection. And the thing about, I don't know if you can Google it, not now, but later, the Roman soldier shield. It wasn't little Captain America shield with the little, no. This is a big shield that goes from the top all the way. Basically what God was saying was, there's nothing going to touch you, not from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. So this shield that we have, this protection that we have, it's not a little something that you've got to go ting, 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 ting. No, you just drop that thing and you just, it's covering from, look at it. I should have put a picture of it for you on the screen. It's like the width of you and the height of you. That's just how it was made. The Bible says we've been created in His image, so guess what? It's the right fit shield of faith. Everybody say right fit. Translation, God doesn't want any area of your life exposed to the scheme or strategies of the enemy. God wants to protect you from all the fiery darts that attack your identity, that attack your confidence, that attack who you are. We need the shield of faith against all the fiery darts and arrows of the enemy. Let's go to Psalms. These were not going to be on the screen. I want to shoot these to you real quick. Psalms chapter 18:2. I just want to build you up for just a second. 18:2 says this, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield. This is David. He is my shield, the power that saves me and my place of safety. Psalms 18:30, God's way is perfect. Remember what we talked about earlier? The job that you have that you don't like? Say it's perfect. Just say it. Say it's a perfect job. You know why? Because there's somebody in there that needs something that you have. His name is Jesus. Now it's up to us to be in the right place at the right time and be receptive enough to be able to speak exactly what God wants us to say to that person, to encourage them, build them up, lift them up. That's what our role is. Somebody say, that's my role. It says, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. For who is God except the Lord, who but our God is a solid rock. Psalms 84. I'm just giving these to you because I want you to see. He is your strong tower. He is your protection. He is your shield. 84:11 says this, Psalms. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. I had a couple more, but I'm going to read this last one. Psalms 3:3 says this, but you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory and the one who holds my head high. The reason we walk around defeated is because we've stepped so far away from God, He can't get to you to lift your head up when your countenance is low. Paul said, hold up the shield of faith. So basically what he's saying is hold up God. But hold up God. Bring God into the equation. Bring God into your situation. Some of y'all, you're not, he's at your disposal. Why are you getting the beat out of you? Because you need to bring God into the equation. Shut down the fiery darts. Shut down the people talking. Unfriend. Block. Delete. Whatever you got to do. It's at your disposal. Use it. Weapons of mass destruction. That's what the enemy has. And they're all lies. Can you believe it? They're lies. He's an accuser. Nothing, lying is his native tongue. That's all he knows how to do. So if anything you're hearing is contrary to what God's word says about you, run. Stand firm. Hold up the shield of faith. I just believe when the arrows come, and they will, when you bring God into the equation, the arrows will hit that shield and they will fall to the ground. They are no match for God. Point number two. His word is my weapon. We talked about the shield. Now let's talk about the sword. His word is my weapon. I remember in VBS, we used to do these word drills where the teacher in VBS, Vacation Bible School, would say, you know, like John 3:16, and we'd be like, speed dial. And then first one to get it. You know why? Because it was teaching us that when the enemy comes in, we got to have enough word tapped into us. Because John 3:16, if I said it like, everybody in the whole room should stand up and say exactly what it is. It's because she was teaching us the basics so that way when the enemy comes, even if you don't know the deepest, most profoundest statements of the word, hit the enemy right between the eyes with some of the basics. You know what Bible stands for? Basic instruction before leaving earth. It's basic. We need to have so much of the word inside of us that when he comes at us, we just right back at him. That's the sword. Oh, you can drop the shield when the fiery darts. You know how they do when they're you're like it's right here, but when they pause to take a break, you go, take that, devil. Ever play paintball? Let them blow out all their colors of the rainbow, looking like Skittles. And then when you hear that thing go click, 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 that means that's your time. And you just come out there. That's what you do to the enemy, because he's going to take a pause. He's going to take a break. Be like a dog playing dead. And then when he turns his back, with the word of God coming out of your mouth, sharper than any two-edged sword, better than anything the enemy's got. He's no match. He's no match for God. I don't know about y'all, but this is preaching to me today. And I'm almost done. Can you believe it? Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, 11. It's at the back of the book, Bradley. Why can't you find it? 12. There it is. It's highlighted for you. And they have defeated him. Who? The devil. By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. The blood got you saved, but it's the enemy that keeps trying to come back and tell you you may not be. And then you come up with the word of your testimony, and that's when you slay the giant. David did it with a stone, but God gave us a sword. Slay your giant. Slay your giant. I overcame him not by my own power, but by the power of the blood of Jesus. Tell the devil, you're defeated. You're nothing but a punk. You're a liar. Talk to him that way. He's telling you stupid stuff. Tell some stupid stuff back to him. Stupid devil. If people pass me sometimes in town, walking through a store, they may think maybe be careful, but they may think I got multiple personalities, because I'd be like, nah, devil, not today. They'd be like, whoa, confused individual on aisle 9. Yeah, you'd be work. Got portables all around you. Not portables, those little sectional things where you work. And you'd be like, not today, devil, you stupid liar. Pastor said you was an accuser. Somebody going to stick their head over the hey, you okay down there? Tell the enemy, you're a joke. You're a joke. You still bringing this stuff to me? You're a joke. I'm just tired of him messing. That doesn't mean he's going to stop, but I'm equipped to let him know that you can't touch me. Man, I've been bought but with a high price. High price. Blood of Jesus. Yeah, I know what it's like. Devil be messing with your marriage. I know all about that stuff. I know all about crazy thoughts. Trying to take your life. I know all about that. He's an idiot. It don't matter what title you think you carry. You are no exception. Stop bowing down and giving in to him. And if you're not strong enough to do it in that moment, you call up somebody. You call Pastor B. You call somebody in this church and go, I just need to lean on you. Because we all need somebody to lean on. We do. Call on your brother when you need a hand. The Bible tells me three things, and we're going home. The Bible tells me three things. It tells me who I am. When the enemy tries to tell me all the things I'm not, the Bible, you go right into the word and say, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Devil, you are a liar. Get thee behind me, Satan. Stop with all that trash talk. Talk trash back to him. I mean, drop a mama joke on him. Your mama. Pastor B, does he have a mama? Where's that in scripture? Tells me who I am. It also tells me what to do. It tells me what to do with my body. It tells me what to do with my money. It tells me what to do in relationships. It tells me how to handle marriage. It tells me how to handle children. You know, when we get that messed up, when we try to do it the way we think it needs to be done, or the way we saw mom and daddy do it. If Mama's been married 25 times, that's not the person you need to be modeling yourself after. I know all about divorce too. Been there, done that. My parents divorced. I've been divorced. And I've heard the lies of the enemy. But brother, you can't be used by God. Just sit down. That wasn't the devil. That was a deacon. Not in this church. I just felt the air leave the room. Oh my God. You know why I said that kind of stuff? Because I try to push back on the devil. See, that wasn't a cocky, arrogant statement. That was because I hear that stuff and just it's on repeat. It's on repeat. Repeat. Well, hear this, devil. Repeat. Shut up. Go to hell. You ain't got nothing on me because the blood of Jesus, it covers all my jacked up excuses and messed up stuff. So that's the way I draw the sword. When I let that religious devil know. Say what you want to. Back it up in scripture though. I know what he says. The blood covers it all. And every person that God used, that Jesus used to carry this thing on, to actually move the church to where it is today, was done by jacked up people. Congratulations. If you're jacked up, you're next up. Because y'all know I'm jacked up and I sure can't do it by myself. So I need some people. And number three. So it tells me who I am, what to do, and it also tells me what not to do. It tells me when that thinking that I got is a little crazy. It tells me when my attitude needs to be adjusted. Usually Amy tells me first, then I find out that God said the same thing. Oh, you on her side? Thanks, God. It tells me when that's my plan and not his. You know, when we put other things at the priority at the first of the week, you don't come to church, we'd rather do something else because I just don't have time. And then wonder why in the middle of the week things got out of whack. Well, it's because you missed a service on talking about God's your shield. And you out here trying to, I'm holding my shield. I'm making light. But I'm telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There's a reason why the Bible says, don't forsake yourself from assembling together. Because by ourselves, the enemy will knock you off. The greatest thing about this shield of faith is that, yes, it protects me, but then if all of us stand up, whole row, stand up, look that way, stand up, look that way. But come back here with me. I'm by myself. Y'all ain't listening to the message. But then when we drop all of our shields out in front, you can't see nothing but shield. You can't see nothing. It's all out here. Put it up here. What you doing? I mean, of all people, you should be following Daddy. That's why it's important that we're together in here. Because when the enemy comes, and then we're going to take step forwards. We didn't practice this, but let's start walking forward. And this is how we take territory back. It's better together. We're stronger together. And we're more intimidating to the enemy because he's like, oh, and he starts backing up. He just starts backing up. Oh, that was y'all's seats. I'm sorry. I told y'all we didn't plan that, but it worked. It was looking good in my head. I didn't even have that one written down. That's just how God gave it. He tells me when it's my way of thinking. He tells David. He's like, we don't need another date. We don't need no more Bathshebas and all that came with that. Hello, church. He tells me in his word what to watch out for, what to be careful for. He tells me about Moses, who had an anger issue. Therefore, he didn't get to see the promised land. That was passed down to somebody else because Moses got it out of balance. He tells me about Jonah in his word. Get a word from God. You rebel, do something different. God tells me in his word, this is what will happen. Disobey him and then go out to Cedar Key if you want to. Ain't never seen a whale out there, but I guarantee you got to put there one for you. 2 Timothy. In closing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. sums it all up, what we just said. All scripture, everybody say all. Not the deleted ones that you don't like. Because I know if you had the option to delete, there would be some in here you would probably take out because it doesn't accommodate your lifestyle. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. You got anybody in? How many people have someone in your life that can tell you that you're wrong and you're okay with it? Let me say it again. How many in here, and I'm not looking for you to raise your hand because be careful. Some of y'all are being very honest. How many have someone in your life that can tell you that's probably not a good idea and you'll be okay with it and you won't be offended? That's good. You need. We all need. We need somebody. But that's that heart level stuff. That is not you open it up to somebody else in the church just because they in the church with you. Remember what I said. We are all jacked up. Well, who am I supposed to go to? I know. Find somebody who knows what God's purpose and plan is for your life, and they'll look beyond where you're at and see where you're headed and will help you get there. That's who you open up to. Most of the time, that's a pastor. And that's not disqualifying anybody in here. I'm not disqualifying you, but I'm just saying the type of person that you open up to is somebody that will look past where you are, see where you're headed, and they'll help you get there. They'll let you. Mike Colley will let me call him in the middle of the day and blow off steam. And I mean full steam ahead. And then we'll get ready to hang up. He'll go, "You good, B?" "Yep, I'm good." "Well, can I share something with you?" "Absolutely." Because you need to open up yourself, not just share, but then be ready to receive what God says. Amen. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Anybody here this morning go, "I know I've got work to do"? Didn't want to stand? I just want to pray over you. And the worship team can go ahead and come. Anybody say, "I have work to do. That message spoke to me. I have work to do. I now understand that the shield of faith, I understand that it's God. And I've got to bring God into the equation. I've got to bring God into every area of my life." And by standing, what you're saying is, "I recognize that I need to, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen." Okay? I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen. My role is to make sure that you're a strong church, that you're a healthy church. That's why some of the things that I say, even whether it's talking about finances or money, whether it's talking about relationships, whether it's talking about the S word, I'm limited to how many times I can say it in church. When we start talking about these things, it's because I want to see you healthy. It's not because I'm passing judgment. So it's not always going to be Sundays where I preach the roof off and you walk out of here feeling wonderful. And those are the messages that are very hard to prepare because you know you never want somebody to feel like I'm dissing. It'll never be that way. Can I just have that moment to say, it'll never be that way. It's only because as a pastor, I want to see you whole and healthy and everything that God wants for you and your family. Amen? Amen.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. For more content from Forward or just to connect with us, go to myforwardchurch.org. We love you. The best is yet to come.